This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show. The Playmakers aired on WANM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. I am Wes from the 904 Duval in the building, baby. And we got some great topics for you. We're talking about the Orange Blossom Classic and all FAMU football, the FSU, the great FSU. We're talking some NCAA football, and we're getting to the NFL at the end. And then in the studio with me, I have some great fellas. Introduce yourselves.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy JB the King back here off a big Ohio State win. You know we're gonna get into that.
Listen, man, I'm not here for all the week one shenanigans. All this extended FSU talk making me sick, but it's your boy Jay Scott telling you what's hot, what's not on WANM 90.5.
What's good, what's hood, man? It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. and I'm sadly in this studio after my crazy chance.
Jeff, it's gonna be a long episode, Jeff.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long episode, but I have a great guy coming back. I am so happy he's back. Go ahead,
your homework,
please.
What's going on, y'all boys? It's Deant. You know, it's been a long time. No C, man. I'm just happy to be back in the studio, bro. We're going to be consistent this year with it.
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up, y'all? It's Flowwood's Finest, Kaji Latica, Reverend Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. It's Missouri Hate Week.
And the Adobe Ambassador, bro. We need to get that.
Yeah, Adobe Ambassador. Let's start off.
We need that.
Let's start off the episode with, I don't even know if you can say this on air, the donkey of the day. Sir, so on the Playmakers podcast, we have a thing where if you have the worst record when it comes to college football picks, you, sir, will be edited. This week, it is none other than Q.
It's what it is.
You know,
crooked letter record.
that's horrible. We've all been there, man. Yeah, yep. We appreciate your contributions though to the podcast.
I mean, you don't always win week one.
Yeah.
Oh, and, but you know who does win week one?
Oh, okay.
Can we like
Florida State?
Ohio State lost to Michigan last year and still won the Natty. So
we didn't have to bring up that loss, but I appreciate the Natty. Shout out.
But we are going to get into FAMU football. What are we thinking about the Orange Blossom Classic? A close loss in the last second. 10-9, very low scoring game.
Listen,
Jalen, you start off.
Me and Jeff were there on the field, and
unfortunately,
all around wasn't a great performance, really, from either team. I'll give credit where credit is due. I think both defenses played extremely well. I like what I saw after our first season, the new defensive coordinator on the defensive end. We'll start off with the positives. You know, we were able to see some glimpses of some players who were going to end up making some, you know, huge plays for us. But I think all of that kind of gets overshadowed with how poorly the offense played. I think it all starts at the quarterback position. RJ Johnson, his very first start wasn't a great one. He did a great job, you know, of protecting the ball, zero turnovers. But his inability to push the ball down the field, make some great reads. He didn't have a lot of help, especially at receiver. Some really crucial drops, especially from Thad Franklin. What could have been a game-changing touchdown earlier in the game. But all in all, not really sure what we should be expecting going into week two. Week one was obviously a disappointment. Shout out Pops. 2-minute offense, got it done for Howard. But out of this swag, I think we're going to need a lot of turnaround and identity on offense, especially if we want to have success this season.
I think it was subpar, just the overall offensive play, 2.8 yards a carry. That's not winning us ball games. Our highest receiver had 51 reception yards. That's not going to help us win the game. Our quarterback, I think that's self-explanatory. The lights were too bright. I think he kind of picked it up towards the end, but you can't pick it up towards the end. We need it from start to finish. It can't be, okay, when I want to click, it's going to click. No, it has to click from the start for us to win games. And the 2-minute drill, we're kicking a field goal on what? The 5-yard line?
The 2-yard line.
The 2-yard line.
4th and 2.
I remember, and I quote, me and Jay on the sideline, I said, if we don't tush push, like Philly, I promise you, like, we're getting down low, we're going in that end zone. You know what he decides? To kick a field goal. So what that showed to me was, I don't trust my offense.
Yeah. But on the trying to look on the bright side, because, you know, we try to support our school here. So, like, it's an out of conference loss.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of week one, like, mistakes, a lot of things you can iron out, things you can build upon. And what we got was a good defense. That's what we showed. So we have some positive to build on, which is what I like to see, because there's been times where it was like nothing. And it wasn't nothing. There's things to build on. It's the offense that we need to look into. The defense, you know, pretty good performance from all things considered. So I'm not like killing the season. I'm not like we're done, but you know, out of conference, so we have possibilities to like shape up the season and still have a successful season at the end of the.
I mean, yeah, the defense was obviously a strong point. I mean, they punted the ball 8 times, and then we also had an interception. But like, as an offense, I feel like we had good field positioning the entire game.
Yeah,
but the whole game. Able to capitalize at all. How do you only score 9 points when we were in the red zone? I think 4 times.
Yes.
So it's just like, as an offense, right, you just got to capitalize. And I didn't see much to make me believe next week that we'll be much better. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to take a little time for us to get adjusted. It's a lot of new players here, new quarterback. You know, it's just going to take a little minute for the Rattlers this year.
Yeah, and I would say it was a frustrating loss, because it's one thing to even get blown out. You know, you're like, okay, we were never going to win that game. But the fact that the score was sitting at 7-3 for pretty much the entire game, and it's like, you can't score one touchdown, not one touchdown, to open it up. It's like, what are we doing here? And honestly, again, the defense played well. The offense, surprisingly, they had more yards, no turnovers, and won the time of possession, and still couldn't win the game.
It was honestly just mind-blowing, you know, with the lack of touchdowns. I personally wasn't in Miami for this game or watched. I was too busy watching the FSU game.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Just seeing all of our fellow classmates, you know, react to the game, and, you know, seeing, like, you know, there's no touchdown put on the board by us. It was just really just disappointing. I'm just hoping, you know, this isn't, you know, foreshadow for the rest of the season. Like Jalen said, I hope it's just, you know, week one shenanigans, but we'll definitely see come next week.
I think one of the things going forward was one of the questions that came in the presser after the game was, where was Tyler Jefferson? Why is RJ Johnson continuously being the starting quarterback? And then Colsey responded, it's because his teammates trust him. Obviously, the offensive coordinator, Coach Burris, he has a lot of respect and trust in RJ Johnson. He believes he's a guy to get the job done. I still think we'll probably see Tyler Jefferson, because he was teased to be played during the Miami game, even though he didn't get any minutes. I think that possibly if we were to see this performance going into FAU, we could see a changeup against Albany State, especially when we have the first home game. I think I liked what I saw out of Goldie Lawrence. I think he'll be a big target for us this year. I know that he's really filling in for Ace Cobb until he comes back from his injury, which I doubt he's going to play against FAU as well. We'll probably save that for more SWAC competition, just to make sure you have a healthy roster going into, again, conference games. But from what we've seen right now, you know, the Rattlers are in for a long season.
Going into that FAU game, what are we thinking about how that's going to go for our guys? Because I do think we'll see Tyler Jefferson, but not for any positive reasons. I think,
frustrated, we're just going to be trying guys football. Out. We're talking about family football. I'm just frustrated even just listening right now. Just because I'm getting flashbacks of the game that against Howard and how bad they look. I don't think there's nothing to iron out. You said things iron out. It's not going to get ironed out week two.
You can iron out an offense.
It's, no, but yeah, I mean,
not in week two. It's not happening.
If it's not happening in week two, not week three, not week, maybe by week six.
We have a couple of, like, easier games lined up before we start getting to, like, crazy swag play, like tough games. We have to win Jackson's later in the season, Southern's later in the season. So I think we could have, like,
what's easy?
You got Alabama State.
Yeah,
Albany State
is a tune-up. That's your tune-up
Listen. We have some must-win games coming up, but like we have time because we have FAU. We could try some things out because it's not gonna go our way. It seems like that's the booth consensus, is not gonna go our way. So like there's time. We have to build an offense because we have the defense. We've agreed on that. But like just to have a mediocre offense with the way our defense played can take us far away.
What I will say for the offense is that the things that they're trying to iron out are things you kind of nip in the bud in the offseason. So, you know, they weren't heavily penalized. That was a huge issue going into last season. Mm-hmm. They didn't turn the ball over. That was a huge issue going into last season. Now,
which is why I think we can build. That's what I'm saying. We have to get rid of.
In terms of just execution, is the biggest thing that they got to fix. And if Colsey says there's confident in his players, then that's all we can go off of. But
we couldn't even run the ball. Like, we need to be able to run the ball. I think that's something we can build on soon.
Between the tackles, it just wasn't working. I think that the linemen just got gassed towards the end there.
Because, like, the quarterback situation, you know, that might be a process that might not get figured out, but like we could run the ball. We know we can run the ball, so like that is something that we need to be able to rely on later on into the season so we can score touchdowns, because we easily could have won this game.
I would say this is the time to just keep on passing, because I mean, like y'all said, we have a proven running game. We know we have a running game that can work, and I feel like that running game cannot be effective if we aren't able to pass the ball. If we aren't able to pass the ball past 5 yards, you need at least a bare minimum passing game to make your running game more efficient. So I think these next two games coming up are the ones that FAMU needs to tune out that passing game.
Yeah, we just need to get him more comfortable, and I think these next two games, like what you were saying, can just allow him to do so. You know, just get him out of his. It felt like he was in his head for a lot of the game, and I would just like to see him more comfortable out there.
But you know what?
No one cares about that. It is FSU time.
Oh, bro.
What do you guys have to say? No. I need apologies. We're going around. Let's start with Jeff. What was said about FSU last week?
I was wrong. You was right.
Right. Jalen?
What's the girl I would like to say?
Whoa. Speak into the mic.
I don't know if you can hear me now.
Sorry.
I owe you an apology. Mm. I was unfamiliar with how hard they were going to play. Tommy Castellanos, right. I owe you personally an apology. All those nights at recess, I saw you outside. Listen, obviously they paid off. I was mistaken. That's on me.
Jason?
Yeah, sure. I apologize. Shout out to y'all. I mean, I was down there. I was rooting for y'all. I was doing the chant and all. So shout out to y'all.
You?
Yeah, me personally, I really don't care. I mean, you got your win. You got your win. I was wrong. But I did have the privilege of being at the game. And I don't know. FSU, they look different. Now, Alabama, I don't know about them. They look troubling. It's some reports out there that Kalen DeBoer does not have this team under control. Like, they're getting DoorDash at 2 a.m. And I don't know. Bama just doesn't look that good. But I will give credit where credit is due to FSU.
Absolutely.
And they looked very nice at Dolt Campbell.
So what were you most impressed with? Because you gave us a number of things to look out for going into this game. So what were you most impressed with in their performance, and why do you feel like that's going to continue throughout the season?
I was absolutely impressed by the physicality of the defense. I thought the defense was mauling the O-line over there at Bama. They got Ty Simpson scared. They got him, like, he was running wild. I loved it. And the DBs were physical. You know, I saw a couple of things in the pass game where they got a little loose, but like in the run game, in the short pass game, they were coming downhill, knocking people out. I love to see it. I love to see our run game not only just be effective, but we spread the running back by committee.
230 yards
per carry.
And multiple people had 50 plus yards, and we had four different people score touchdowns, and that running game was elite. I loved what I saw. I loved the play call by Gus Malzahn. Got out of that terrible school over in Central Florida. Like, we absolutely looked like a team that can cause problems in the ACC. With that being said, where do we think FSU goes from here? Because currently, I think they're a little underranked. You know, 14 seems a little.
Okay, let me give a backstory. So we were in my office, we were talking, and I saw he had a Florida State, you know, little collar on. So I'm like, interesting. It's going to be a long day today. So I asked him, I said, what is Florida State right now in the AP poll? He said 14. I said, that's not what I checked yesterday when it came out. Mm-hmm. But I guess I overlooked every other team. I thought they were like down like maybe like the 15s, the 20 range. They're 14. So then Wes said to me, I think we're better than Illinois. Like, we should be higher than Illinois.
I think 11 is appropriate for FSU. And I think South Carolina needs to look over their shoulder.
Yeah, and at one point he argued about South Carolina.
South Carolina needs to look over their shoulder. I think we're good enough to be 10. I just think we have to prove it.
I personally think that if you were to play South Carolina, that's a much better quarterback than
Of course, but way better. I don't think anything else is as good as Bama's. Like, I don't think their defensive line, actually, I don't even agree with that. I think they're around the same. And I don't think their O-line is as good as Bama's. And I don't think their skill players are as good as Bama's. I think the only person we'll have to worry about is Lenore Sellers. And I think we can contain him.
But you guys aren't playing South Carolina. You guys are playing in the ACC. So in terms of upcoming competition, you guys play East Texas A&M Commerce. All right, we're going to keep it pushing. Kent State, we're going to keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this
Virginia
game against
keep it pushing. Virginia, Miami. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this game.
That's a game.
I'm honestly not overlooking Virginia because it's a trap game. You have your eyes on Miami all the time. Teams like that, especially when you're playing away this early in the season, are known to give FSU problems. It happened last year when they played Memphis. They tried overlooking them going into ACC play, and they got upset right at home.
Memphis might have been better. Last year's team was just not good. I don't think we were overlooking anybody. I think the team was bad.
My point is what I'm trying to get at is Florida State has to realize their expectations for where they want to be in this season, because they still have a lot of things that they need to clean up going into ACC play. One of the things that they couldn't really do towards the end of the game was close out and get off the field on third downs. Alabama was continuously able to keep themselves in the game. Now, that's something that obviously they're going to get back right. I think the defensive backs were a little over-aggressive in stopping the run, so that opened up a lot of passing lanes.
It did.
But
double moves worked.
And when you're playing a team like a Miami or Virginia, that different kind of
Virginia and Miami
pass
are such different schools.
No. But if you look at how they want to operate their offenses, they're going to look at what FSU does and what they do well. What they would do well right now is stop the run. Yes. They can stop the run like nobody's business. But with that being said, when you're so gung-ho on sending a guy to fill up a hole, you obviously miss out what's going on over the middle. I think they had a lot of issues stopping the kind of third and short, third and long. If they put teams into a third and long situation, I think their defense benefits the most. I like their chances, you know, the next 3 weeks. Going into Miami, I want to see what this Florida State team turns into, because the expectations, I feel like, for now are high if you're talking about putting them at 11.
Yeah.
I mean, based off of who I see at 11, because I don't think Illinois is a better team than FSU. Do you guys think Illinois, like, against their six school they played, is better than?
I don't even know.
But then again, it's week one.
It's week one.
Yeah. Sure, but
maybe the week before the Miami game or the week after the Miami game, then we could come back to this conversation.
I think Miami will be a fun game to watch. I think it'll be physical.
Oh, it's gonna
be
fun.
It's gonna be fun
for Miami.
I think it'll be back on the mic after that Miami game. I think it'll be back hosting. Do we want to give a prediction for the upcoming game against East Texas A&M?
Y'all win. It's just like 40. Y'all gonna have like 40-7. Somewhere around that ballpark.
All right, but the real question is, do you think FSU can make the ACC championship game?
I mean, there's always a possibility.
It's not a conference.
You know, it's a basketball conference. I'm always keep saying that.
The ACC isn't a conference that you can necessarily make predictions too early in, because you've seen juggernauts like Miami last year drop a game to Georgia Tech, drop a game to Syracuse at the very end of the season and spoil all their chances. I think it's a little early. I liked what I saw out of Clemson, even though they're coming off of a loss. I think that offense is going to be, you know, potent this year. Klubnik still got some things to figure out.
Yeah.
Miami obviously is going to be a heavy hitter out this year. Dang, who else out of the ACC that I like?
You also have SMU.
Yes,
yeah, SMU. And Cal. The quarterback.
Freshman.
I don't consider them on the same level as the Clemson FSU.
They're like tier two.
Yeah, but I do.
Y'all are tier two too, though.
Whoa.
I mean, y'all need to take it one game at a time, bro.
Yeah, y'all are tier two for me.
Us even having this question is kind of crazy right now.
Listen, I don't write the rundowns. It's Jeff over there.
Yes. But I mean, your schedule does work out in your favor. You get Miami out of the way before you get into at home. You get them out of the way before you get deep into October. So you have a chance for Miami to eventually does what Miami do best and drop a random game to a subpar ACC opponent. You know, at Clemson is going to be a very tough game.
At Second Death Valley.
At North Carolina State, it's also going to be a trap game right before they go into the senior night against Florida. Yeah. So it's up in the air right now, but I like your chances to finish maybe second.
Seconds?
I like your chances to finish third.
Third is great. I feel like we win one of our ranked games in the ACC. I feel like we win at least one.
Okay, so out of these...
What? I guess, but...
No, they have three. Yeah. They have three-ranked games.
SMU's ranked, right?
They're talking about ACC games. They're not playing SMU this year.
So out of these three...
Miami and Clemson and Florida.
So out of those three games... Are you 1-2?
I think we're 2-1.
2-1.
I think we're 2-1.
3-0.
Who are you beating?
Florida, and I'll give it between. Florida. Florida.
Okay. In the swamp?
Yeah, you're lucky Michael Trim Jr.'s not here.
No one cares about the swamp anymore, man. I don't care about the swamp anymore, bro. Statement. Freshman quarterback, not a freshman anymore. Second year quarterback, you know, he's gonna have to see us, is what I think. And then I think we'll win one of those tough games that are in the ACC play, man.
I'll give you Miami.
Well, DeAndre over there is scratching his head. Well, what's going on?
I don't know, man. I feel like it's still too early to decide. I was saying that, you know, I would reconsider looking at it after this Miami game.
Absolutely.
Of course.
But, like, course. I don't know.
So you're not quite on the FSU hype train yet?
No, I'm not.
What Deanne wants to say is,
I believe.
What Deanne wants to say is they're going 0-3. That's what he wants to say.
I would not be surprised.
0-3 is so nice.
I don't know. They may have to wrap up the program if they lose to East Texas A&M Commerce. I can't even tell you where that school is.
I don't know either. If we lose, I will burn this shirt, bro.
Mind you, he has on like a Florida State quarter zip right now. I've never seen him wear Florida State gear at all.
I'm a big Florida State fan. I got a bunch.
No. I know this. I've just never seen you wear it. You've been ashamed for like the last 2 years.
Understandable, it's crazy, man. I just didn't want any trouble on the pod, man. I just didn't want to be assaulted, but it's cool. Moving on to just the entire NCAA football, what do we think about Texas? Was it a bad game, a bad sign?
Nah.
Just bad game.
What do we think about Ohio State, bro? I don't care about Texas. Ohio State, boy, came out there and proved. Because who picked Texas?
I did.
I picked Texas.
I picked Ohio State. That's why I'm 72. Ball knower.
Ain't no way that boy Arch was finna come through against his first, what, visiting game against Ohio State. Yes, yeah. We have a bunch of new people.
I understand what you're saying, but you're acting like you blew him out. Yeah. You won by 7.
Yeah.
He looked like trash.
He didn't look trash.
The way we were treating Arch Manning, he did look like...
He did not
live up to the hype, but that's one game, and against what I think is the best defense in the NCAA.
Now you
want to
do
this
the one game thing? You were just talking about FSU.
I didn't say Thomas Castellanos was a Heisman favorite. I said it was a good game.
Go ahead.
My only question is, when it was the 2-minute drill, were you not spooked when he had the ball?
Oh, I was terrified.
All right. All right then.
But I wouldn't say it was trash.
I don't think he was trash at all. I think he missed a lot of throws in the flats to the right side. Yes. I don't know why he kept missing that throw. But wide open. But he threw a great ball for that touchdown. A great ball. Yeah. And I think he has potential. And it's his first year against a good team.
I agree. Absolutely. He has potential for sure. But overall, throughout the game, he did not look that good. And that's because Matt Patricia was throwing so many different schemes.
Let me get to that. Out schemed for sure.
I think it was just a bad game. I mean, your first collegiate start in an away game is against a former NFL defensive coordinator who won multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, you picked him to win. My bad. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. No, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. But I'm just saying, I think it was just overall a bad game. Like, seeing that, if I'm arching issues, I'm like, okay, pre-snap, this is what it looks like. Safeties rotating all over.
Yeah. It's like, rotating. Okay, I don't know what Caleb Downs in. Rotating. It's not a random Caleb safety Downs. Either. Yeah. It's Caleb Downs rotating.
So it's like, I think it's a bad game. I'm not xing out Arch. I'm not xing out Texas.
I agree.
I still believe.
I think they have a potential to win the SEC, but I do favor LSU to win the SEC. I loved what I saw out of LSU. I think the K Klubnik train needs to.
Nobody was on that train but country.
I mean, the K Klubnik train is just like an overall media thing. Yeah. They love K Klubnik, and I do not get it. I like Garrett Nussmeyer way more. I think LSU and Texas are.
Q, what you thought? Bad game or bad sign, Q?
It was just a bad game. I wouldn't even call it a bad game. I just think Ohio State was ready for that matchup. They heard, I guess they heard us predicting Texas, and they were just like, all right, we're going to come and shut that down. And Arch, I think he looked good with his legs. He made some nice scrambles in the game, and he definitely missed some throws with inaccuracy. But it wasn't a horrible game. It wasn't a horrible game, and I think it's something that Texas can build upon. And the fact that they were that close to Ohio State, they had multiple chances to score touchdowns. They didn't get some fourth down. They didn't get opportunities on fourth down. They got stuffed on the goal line at the one. So they had some opportunities to take the lead or at least tie the game. And I think Texas can build upon that game.
Yeah, I think we definitely just cut Arch Manning some slack. You know, sophomore QB.
Absolutely.
Crazy, crazy, crazy first game to be starting.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest, overall, Texas as a whole, they were able to maintain Ohio State's only 14 points. Defense played pretty well majority of the game. So I don't see this as bad sign, per se. Just a bad game.
Low key, I don't even think, Quinn Ewers performs any better.
I was going to say,
I think Quinn Ewers makes it worse. I don't think if Quinn Ewers in that situation, Jason is spooked in the two-minute drill.
I'm going to put this in perspective. Though, just for viewers, if you take away Arch Manning's name, right, and you just say it is a sophomore quarterback who went out to the Horseshoe for his very first game against probably a first round safety, he went 17 for 30 on completions, 170 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, you wouldn't necessarily count him out for the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
But because
not.
This is Arch Manning, I feel like we have a bit of unreal expectations going on for him.
Definitely.
He definitely played, some meaningful minutes, if you can even call it that, last year. But
you talking when he got cracked?
Yes.
He got hit stick?
I'll admit, because I was harsh on Arch Manning going into the season. I said he was going to lay a stinker in Ohio State. I was completely right. But in terms of his upside for what he's trying to accomplish at Texas, I think that he has all the capability of, doing that. He has the talent at receiver to elevate his game. Once he gets settled, I think he's going to be a very dangerous quarterback. But one thing that film has said is that if you keep pressure in his face, if you change up how you approach your safeties and how you utilize them in terms of blitzes and even dropping backers into coverage, it's going to mess with him. He has a younger mind.
It just sounds like a young quarterback.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound like a bad quarterback.
And what better team to get that experience against than Ohio State?
Yeah, because sure. I promise you, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have much better games against tough teams just because he saw the best at the beginning.
Yeah, because if this was a week eight game, I'm like,
Yeah, right.
We got some questions to answer.
That's fair. Definitely from a non-biased stance, I don't think, you know, it's over for him at all. Texas team still looked really good. Their defense was really, really good against us. We had to work for every single point we had.
That's what I was going to say. On the flip side, I don't feel like Julian Sain had a crazy game.
No, I think he just made the throws he needed to make. He did. Like, under pressure.
Didn't he throw a duck touchdown pass?
I'm so sick of the Big Ten and these quarterbacks. They just make the throws that they need to make. They make, you know, they play the game the right way. You know, just real lunch pail kid. First guy in, last guy out.
Come on. But I don't know. The Texas defense is really tough. So I think from both teams, I think it's both solid games from both. I think they both are going to be, they might meet each other again in the college football playoffs. I just think it was a slugfest game.
Yeah. And I mean, we if you look around the entire country, all of these games were slugfests. All these games were defensive, with defensive battles. And I think that's just, I guess that's kind of the direction college football is going now, is getting more like the NFL, where defense is going to matter a lot more. That's just really what it is.
Because NFL coaches keep losing their jobs and going to college. Yeah.
Speaking of Mr. Belichick, you have questions to answer for. Sir, what was that performance on Monday?
That was very wild.
Hard to watch.
That was like the BET Awards. Everybody popped out of that game.
Yeah, no, that was an absolutely crazy game. I don't know how it gets that bad for a Bill Belichick coach team.
What do you think the translation gets lost between NFL and college? Because, I mean, if you listen to anybody talking about this move from Bill Belichick going into UNC, it was that it was going to be a blockbuster movie, fits in great at Chapel Hill. He has the ability to pretty much be a general manager of the team and manage the game the right way. They come out and they can't even score 3 touchdowns. You get routed at home by TCU, who had a tumultuous season at best last season.
He wasn't ready for the Big 12.
Wow.
You go your entire career as an NFL coach. The NFL and college game are completely different. And if you're just like, you know, we all thought, okay, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame NFL coach. He's going to do great at North Carolina. But you have to know how to play the college game. You have to know how all the workarounds behind recruiting, NIL, and Bill Belichick just doesn't seem like
the same way
kind of guy.
Nick Saban can't coach in the NFL is the same way Bill Belichick can't coach in college. Like, it's just not the same. Like, you have to turn, you know, a boy, an 18-year-old boy, into like a man, like, like college football-wise. Like, you have to develop somebody into, like, but like Bill Belichick grabs grown men out of college and like develops them. Like, it's a different process. Like, they don't have the same basis of knowledge. Yeah. They haven't had the same experience. He doesn't know how to, you know, build the knowledge from the bottom. Like,
and if we go off of what people say his personality traits are, who knows if he's even relatable to the kids, or, you know, his coaching style. He's like,
I can't imagine being in that locker room.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't. At all. With his girl there too, I couldn't.
You see, I didn't want to say
quarterback trying to get at his girl, bro. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out there in UNC, man. Might be a one and done for Mr. Bill.
Especially in that very tough ACC. I don't know. It might get treacherous.
Super tough
very
ACC.
Tough ACC. Super very tough. Shout out ACC in the same sentence.
Shout out ACC Basketball Conference. It's not tough at all.
Got some great teams in the ACC, man. What we need to talk about is LSU. Are LSU top contenders? Like, are they?
When you say contender, all right. When we say contenders, because of
like
how
championship. Mm-hmm. Are they gonna make the playoffs like through the SEC championship type thing? Like, you think they're gonna win the SEC championship?
It's wide open. SEC is wide open. Is. Respectfully,
and I mean my outlook on LSU from the beginning of the season was they have amazing talent. They have a great quarterback. I guess right now you can call him the best quarterback in the country. Yeah, but my thing with LSU was Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly just has not shown he's ever been able to coach a team to get it done on the highest stage, and that was my only concern with LSU.
My concern was the defense. Now, last week, I know I said Alabama versus Texas as my SEC championship game. Now, looking at it, I don't think Bama in there.
I don't think Bama's in there.
You think number 20 Bama or whatever they're at is going to be in there?
and after I saw the defense that LSU put on in the fake Death Valley, there was some improvements. Now, they always said, we've improved our defense. We got the right players. We got the right defensive coordinator. Now I'm believing it now. If you perform like that against Clemson, now I'm believing it. I'm a believer.
I called LSU Texas in the SEC championship, and I think I'm going to stand on LSU coming out on top.
Hey, guys, quick question. Has anybody looked at LSU's schedule? Just a quick glance. Do you know how many ranked opponents they have to play?
Yes.
I'm well aware.
They play Florida.
They play Florida, South Carolina.
Florida's trash.
Okay, that's crazy to say.
They play
Florida in 2 weeks. They got Ole Miss at Ole Miss. Yeah. They play number 10 South Carolina. They get Texas A&M. They get at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they end the season against Oklahoma at Norman.
I think the biggest game in there is not what you think it is. I think the biggest game in there is Texas A&M. I think that's the toughest game. I think they're better. I think they're head and shoulders better than most of the other teams.
I think another test could be South Carolina.
Yes,
with
most
Sellers.
They should have beat him last year. So
Lenora Sellers is a very good quarterback, and I will not take. I just don't think they have the talent around him to match LSU. You can't just do it by himself. There's 11 men on the field, and there's one great, and then Nick Harbor is also very good, and then that's about it.
It's very quiet, but I will say Lenora Sellers might look like JD5 running up in there the way he finna run around them. If I'm being genuinely honest, he might look like JD5, but just bulkier. Because if the pass game's not working, he's running the ball. He's going to get his yards.
For sure, but like I think LSU's improved defense. I think Garrett Nussmeier's like ability to score the ball. I don't think they're going to be a very, like, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, but I don't know if it's going to be.
That's what I'm saying. That might be the biggest test for them, because after what I saw by Alabama, off that.
I was always cool
off
that.
I don't know. I see LSU taking a Tennessee path kind of to the playoffs. I mean, they could still make it, but in terms of the top two teams in the SEC, it's just a juggernaut schedule. I mean, it's hard to get there.
Bro, it's LSU and Texas, but I'm telling y'all.
LSU will get the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
I feel like if they get at least nine wins, they should be in.
Yeah, they'll get that Alabama.
This very well could have been their hardest game this season.
Week one. I agree.
Yeah.
That is hard. You know what I mean? It's probably the best defense that they're going to face all season.
I agree.
No,
that
is the best
defense they're going to face all season. So, like, if they can pull it out week one, Brian Kelly, after not being able to do this for, what, 4 years, 5 years, something like that, I think the sky's the limit, bro. I think they probably lose, like, maybe one or two of these running backs.
I feel like we're sleeping on Florida. Something happened. Like, there was a breakdown.
Sleeping on Florida. Florida beat them last year with lesser talent.
We are not sleeping on Florida. I'm actually all the way asleep on Florida, man. I'm not impressed.
Yo, again, this is coming from a guy whose team just went 2-10. It's a new year.
My only biggest question over LSU is, Cade Durham only had 74 rushing yards. Now, maybe that was just a scheme. That's how the game was going.
I guarantee that was a scheme.
Yeah. Maybe that's the case. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. But this is a continuous trend. Now I'm starting to question.
Moving on to Oklahoma, Michigan. What do we think? Ranked opponent versus ranked opponent. I love this game.
This is the best game.
Number 14 versus number 18. And I have a different opinion on it than I think you guys will. Let me hear it.
We can start with Q. Q, you started off, Q.
Both Michigan and Ohio and Oklahoma played lesser opponents last week. Yeah. So it wasn't too much to take from those games. But Oklahoma finally has a real quarterback. They don't have Jackson Arnold anymore.
Yeah.
John Mateer looked pretty good. And Bryce Underwood looked good too. Honestly, it's gonna come down to the trenches at this point. I mean, they're both good quarterbacks. They both have talented offenses and defenses, but it's going to come down to the trenches. So I think Michigan has the better defensive line, and we've had questions on Oklahoma's offensive line, and I think that's going to be a difference maker in the game.
Okay. Jason?
I'm kind of torn. I'm not going to lie. I think both of the quarterbacks looked really good. I mean, Oklahoma, how do you say his name? John Mateer?
Mateer.
Okay. I think he set a franchise record for most yards in his passing debut. He had close to 400. And then Bryce Underwood, of course, is a freshman. His first game, I think he looked pretty solid. I'm going to pick Oklahoma for no real reason other than I don't like Michigan. I'm going to just keep pushing.
Oh, but when I do it, you know.
Yes.
Yes, because you're weird garnered in gold. Anyways, I feel like in terms of Michigan football, they match up very well with Oklahoma. Michigan is a team that if you allow them to stick in the game, they're going to control time of possession. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a team that kind of grinds you out, especially when you get down to the red zone. I like Bryce Underwood personally more as a passer. I think he's more polished. He has a few more reps under his belt. So I'm leading Michigan here. I think being in Norman gives Oklahoma an advantage, but they couldn't stop the run last game. They gave up 4.5 yards per carry. Obviously something you can't have against a Big Ten opponents where you're going to have a larger offensive line. I think their offensive coordinator is going to exploit their inability to stop the run. I like Michigan in a close one.
Me personally, I like the depth of Oklahoma, defensive line. I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think if Oklahoma and Brett Venable can lock out their running attempts and just the run game in general, because when they get in the red zone, it's very hard to score against a Brett Venable defense in the red zone. And if you can't run it and you have to pass it, trusting a freshman quarterback, got to go Oklahoma.
Nah, yeah, I'm definitely going Oklahoma. Like you said, you know, there wasn't much to really work off of from this first week. Both quarterbacks, you know, played well, but it was against very easy opponents. So I'm just going Oklahoma just off the fact of, hey, you know, we have Jayshon Barham. He's being suspended for this first half, coming off that targeting.
That is true.
So, like, you know, it has been said that they have depth at linebacker, but, you know, that's still somebody that's a factor for that defense. And then, you know, just Bryce Underwood coming into that environment. It's a road game. People were saying, like, you know, he's comfortable, but I don't know. He's still young. So it's like, I'm taking Oklahoma on the safe route just because, like, you know, it just seems like the odds are more in their favor. It's going to be a great game for sure.
I am taking Oklahoma. I loved what I saw out of John Mateer. I loved his throwing motion. I think he puts a lot of velocity though on the ball. I feel like he can throw the ball deeper than Bryce Underwood. I saw Bryce Underwood throw the ball, and I was impressed with, like, his first start. He's a freshman. Like, it was very impressive, but I don't think he can, like, air the ball out in the same way. I think John
Mateer doesn't have the wide receivers to air the ball out.
This is true.
This is true,
but I also don't, like, have no way is it getting done. You know, it might be the receivers. It might be him. It might be his ability to read the defense. It's not happening with Michigan. So, you know, they're going to be kind of one-dimensional, you know, short throws, running the ball. While they're very good at running the ball.
Indeed.
You know,
extremely.
You kind of,
6 yards a carry. It was
absolutely nuts. I saw, like, he took a long one to the crib, but, like.
But Brett Venable's not allowing that.
And, yeah, like, you know what you're going to get coming into this game. And I liked what I saw from John Mateer throwing the ball. I think he can stretch the field. And they don't have a bad run game. So I am going to take Oklahoma in a close one. Yeah. Moving on to the NFL. Let's get our thoughts on the Micah Parsons trade, because it's one of the wildest superstar situations we've seen in a long time. Just very bad GMing by Jerry Jones. He needs a GM. What do we think, guys?
So I remember it was on the live show. I said, I'm going to say the same story. I was on the live show. So I'm driving to the game, Orange Blossom Classic game, right? I'm driving to the airport. My phone blows up. It's like, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. I'm getting phone calls. I'm like, am I okay? Like, somebody thinks something going wrong with me? I check my Twitter. It says Micah Parsons trade. I said, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be fake. Then I saw for 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark?
Yeah.
Are we serious?
Bro.
Micah Parsons is not worth 2 first-round picks. Let's start there. Yeah. Let's really start there. And in my mind, I'm like, Jerry, sometimes you just got to not be so personal with it, because at a certain point, we're going on notes saying, yeah, I want to be traded. We could put our Instagram. We put our Instagram bio, like, to be determined. Yeah, I just knew it was getting personal. You wasn't trying to involve the agent. The agent has to be in the room, because some NFL players don't know how to read a contract.
Oh my God.
The agent has to be in the room. He had a problem with the agent. And I'm sitting here looking like, there's no way, like, y'all getting a Super Bowl ring. Like, at this rate, it's going to be a 50-year drought, because you're pushing back so many years after this with this trade. You just helping out the Packers, if I'm being honest.
They're not even good first-round picks. The Packers are going to win 10, 12 games.
Like, so they're going to be picking
25. They're not even good first-round picks. It's not a great trade. Kenny Clark's old. He's a good player, but he's like 30.
And he also said on Good Morning America, I'm taking the numbers over money, like, any day of the week or something like that. Like, I'm taking the numbers as far as adding players rather than letting one person limit my numbers of players.
Yeah, they were talking about the cap space and everything.
Yes,
bro.
So I was like, what?
And then on top of that, the next day they signed Deron Bland.
Yeah, gave him that money.
So you can get that job done, but you can't get a future Hall of Famer's job done.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's just Jerry Jones being Jerry Jones at the end of the day. Like, I wish there was more analysis, but there's really not. I kind of felt like the Cowboys were in a direction. You just got George Pickens. You know what I'm saying? Dak is going to be back. I kind of felt like maybe, okay, we're going to try and go win, maybe. But now you trade your best player, and now I'm like, are y'all trying to rebuild? But then you also get Kenny Clark, so I'm confused. So it just makes no sense all around for me.
On top of that, I'm very curious. You said GP. GP has the same agent as Micah Parsons, and he's on his final year of his deal. So let's see if they get a contract. contract done.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a little bit.
No.
I got to keep it interesting here. I'm gonna throw a few stats out here. Now, I'm going to just let you, as a GM, you're not Jerry Jones. I mean, Jerry Jones.
Of course.
I don't want to be Jerry Jones.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody does. But in terms of just being a GM, notifying what is probably your biggest weakness on your defense, their inability to stop the run for anything. So according to analytics from 2024 season, Parsons ranked 68th in stop rate and 81st on yards per run stop. Now, in terms of offensive coordinators, you can notice that almost any offensive coordinator is going to run the ball towards Micah Parsons. Why? Because he is terrible coming off the line to stop the run. Now, even in then, he only had a handful of sacks to start the year off last year. So in terms of what you got for Micah Parsons, the Cowboys kind of did the right thing in terms of, like, I guess, getting assets for Micah Parsons.
Let me ask you one question. Is Kenny Clark a closer?
No.
In a two-minute drill?
No.
Is he going to get you a sack?
Kenny Clark is not a closer, but
all right.
Hold on. Wait. When has Micah Parsons been a closer for the Cowboys last season?
I mean, you can't close.
No.
Answer my question. You can't be a closer if the Packers come in your trap and blow you out. What am I closing?
No, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that if the Cowboys haven't been in a position to even have Micah Parsons be able to get them a win in the game, offensively, if that's taken out of the book and they're just relying on him to be a pass rush only defender, he is extremely one-dimensional. He's been proven to be emotional now that you have all these things about, oh, I want to be traded, put things on notes. And when you have a, even if he did stay, there wasn't going to be any type of good blood or good business being between him and Jerry Jones. So the damage is already done. You look at a player like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's in a similar boat in the sense that he wasn't going to be able to mesh well with the front office. The damage has already been done. So you might as well get the best assets possible for your defense.
And that was the best.
That was not great.
Hold on.
You got to be able to shop a little bit because it's no way.
I agree that it was extremely early. And the Packers probably are the worst.
You mean late? He should have did this in March.
No. Okay. In terms of signing him, yes. But I'm saying if you're going to shop around and the first thing you pull the trigger on is the NFC opponent, you're wild.
But you should do that. You should do that in March.
In the playoffs.
You should do that in March. If he's going to shop around and trade him, should did it in March.
I agree.
Not in September.
Because I'm very sure somebody like Cleveland or Indianapolis would give you the bank for Micah Parsons at this point.
But to clarify his stopping problems, he has bad run stopping numbers because he's the only good person on the defensive line. They just run at him. They throw two people at him, and then the other side is one-on-ones. They suck.
It wasn't I was about to say something like the Cowboys were actually doing anything with the defense, anyways.
I've watched like a couple Cowboys games, and it's like double Micah Parsons, and everyone else sucks. But the trade is terrible. Those first round picks are not valuable. They're basically seconds. And then the Kenny Clark, you get two good years out of him, and then you need a new D tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I want to flip it over to the Packers. I think I finally like the aggression from them. I think this is something that they missed in the Aaron Rodgers years. They should have stayed aggressive while they had Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. But I like the fact that they're finally going after a game changing player. And they had a great offseason picking up Matthew Golden. Mm-hmm. And they have talent. They have talent on the offensive side around Jordan Love. And I think y'all said he wasn't a closer, but I think when it come playoff time, Micah Parsons, he finally.
I said he was a closer.
Okay. Well, finally come playoff time when they need to stop Micah Parsons, he can lock in. He's finally out of that situation. He can go make a play for Green Bay. I don't like that they had to give up Kenny Clark, but I mean they have Devontae Wyatt and Rashawn Gary. I think they'll supplement that loss, and I just really like the move for the Packers.
So I guess it begs the question now: is Jerry Jones back as the number one hated man in Dallas, or are we still on the Mavs?
No, I think Nico's still up there.
Same arguments against Micah was what they were saying about Luka, like in a way,
not necessarily, because Micah was just taking you to the NBA Finals about a year ago. Luka was taking you to the NBA Finals about a year ago.
But he's fat and doesn't play defense. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still Nico, but Jerry Jones did this last year too, I'm pretty sure, with CD Lamb.
He signed him at the end.
But that's what you were saying. You were saying the blood was already bad, that the reputation was already bad, but he literally did the same thing last year. So if CD can come back and play, why couldn't Micah do it?
Because I feel like
when you...
Everybody's different.
Right, everybody's different. Yeah. But what I'm saying is when you pair a player like CeeDee with a player... Jeez, I can't believe I'm saying this. A player like Dak Prescott, you have at least some return on investment in the fact that you have the ability to make plays. Who on the defense besides Micah Parsons is really pushing the needle for you guys? Micah Parsons is a one-man show on the defense.
That's true.
When you have a player who's trying to get the return on investment that they're putting in and you ask for a strong contact, strong contract and in writing a bunch of money, you want to make sure that I'm also getting the return on investment with the amount of athletes I have around me, the system that I have at defensive coordinator, and that it's going to benefit my game the most. He had he took a dip in sacks last year. He didn't put up as many numbers in 2024 as he put up in 2023.
Sure, because his guys on the other side.
Yeah, okay, so which leads to my next point. You're not bringing any pieces to supplement him at all. So at what point?
There's something called free agency. You just can't get the free agents.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what do I need to come back for?
As Micah Parsons, you don't. Who has the most pressure that going into this season? The AFC guys who just fall short every year because there's somebody named Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, or Josh Allen. Who has the most pressure?
Do y'all want me to start?
I would say Lamar Jackson has more pressure.
It's absolutely not Lamar, but
who has more pressure?
It's Josh, for sure.
Who has more pressure on them?
Yeah.
It's Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Because he hasn't made it as far as many times as Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, have. And again, I hate to put quarterback against quarterback because that's just not how the game is played, but Josh Allen has at least made the AFC Championship twice. Lamar Jackson has made it once. And that, again, that game didn't go well against the Chiefs. And I hate to put like this narrative on Lamar, but the narrative on Lamar is he can't win big games in playoffs. He can win those wild card games. He can get his team to the divisional round or whatever, but he can't win the big game. He can't win the big game against the big time opponents. And so I think in order for Lamar to shake that, he needs a win against Buffalo or Kansas City to shake that. At the very least, now Buffalo can't beat Kansas City, but at the very least, Buffalo and Josh Allen,
from a Bills fan, that's real. I'm going to give you credit. Because, you know, Austin, that's real. I'm gonna give you credit. You don't know.
But yeah, at the very least, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, they have some wins. They just can't get past Kansas City. Lamar and the Ravens, they have yet to beat a quality opponent. Their best win is a rookie CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans.
I mean, I agree. But the reason I think I agree for a different reason, only because I feel like this Ravens team is so talented. Like
especially defensively. You feel me? Gosh.
Like we go roster by roster. They up there for the best roster in the league.
Yeah, they're second.
Second. So I just feel like with all that talent, all that they've invested, I wouldn't even say this is the best Bills team that Josh Allen has had. So going into this season, Ravens definitely have all the expectations to make the Super Bowl. So I think the pressure is on him for sure.
Yeah, and especially coming off the season that Lamar has had, he had an amazing season.
He got robbed
season.
Of that MVP.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far.
He did.
But no,
he
got wrong. No,
Q, we don't got to do this right now because you're lying right now. You don't even believe what you were saying.
We can keep it pushing. But Lamar had an amazing season, and the Ravens didn't lose anybody. They literally just added. They added Jair Alexander on top. They added Mike Green in the draft. They added all of that
Malachi
talent.
Starks.
Yes.
Malachi Starks and Hamilton, bro.
Eric DaCosta on that. How are you, Roseman?
It is one of those things. Like if y'all don't get it done this year, when will you get it done? Especially with the Chiefs are looking a bit weaker this season. Yes. When are y'all gonna get it done?
Wait, so
I'm here, Josh Allen.
Yeah, Deion, you said Josh Allen. Why?
Bro, I'm matching up QB on QB. You know, the team, you know, they the Ravens, you know, made improvements, but like you have Lamar, who just came off of MVP 2 seasons ago. Like you said, he had a phenomenal season last year. Yes, he hasn't been able to convert that into like moving further than the playoffs, but like I don't know, me personally, seeing Josh Allen lose to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes over and over and over and over again, it's like, bro, I don't know how many chances you can get.
But at this point, everybody loses to the Chiefs. The Bengals and that one win where the Chiefs just forgot how to play, and after that, the Chiefs beat everybody.
All right, let me get mine in.
Oh boy,
I don't know like what y'all see when we see Lamar losing these big games, but it is absolute black magic, bro. Because last year, let's just be so real, bro. His most consistent target, his guy since he's came in the league, Mark Andrews, fumbles the game tie, or the game was tied. They're going to win it. The next drive, they go score to tie, 2-point to win, and he drops a wide open ball. Like, that is crazy. The year before in the ACFC championship game, Zay Flowers fumbles on the one going into the end zone to tie the game up. Like, and then the year before, Lamar gets injured. Tyler Huntley tries to jump over like he's Cam Newton, and he fumbles, and Sam Hubbard runs 99 yards. It is black magic, bro. I don't know. As a Ravens fan, bro, it's one thing to lose a game, but the black magic has to stop, bro. It's not like if he just played bad or they were just like
blown out
or something, but like to see them win the game and then something dumb happens is insane.
You just can't get the
job
done.
Do we not have 13 seconds? We have 13 seconds right there. We had not last year, but the year before, where Diggs dropped the pass.
No,
this
you
should have been
first
there's
no way you lose a game in 13 seconds.
That's the defense, right? That's not Josh Allen. That's the defense.
Hey, man.
What else could
the
he
Diggs
what
drop
else could
pass
he
was
done?
Like for a first down. It wasn't like the touchdown.
No, Josh Allen threw that ball 60 yards and went straight through his all-pro wide receiver's hands. What else can you do? What else can you do? It's the same logic.
And then Josh Allen doesn't deserve that MVP, but we don't got to get into it. But
just one of them beat the Chiefs, please.
Please. Somebody.
We got y'all. 49ers, we got y'all.
Y'all in the same boat. Y'all in the same boat.
We got y'all this year, though.
Oh my
God. I'm glad we are segueing into the NFC because this is getting to a point where I'm getting real sick and tired of hearing from 49er fans.
See the jersey I got on today? Shout out Christian McCaffrey.
Do y'all even win the NFC West?
No.
We can go through. We can go through NFC West right now. Let's go through all NFC. Let's do all NFC. You can say the NFC West
end off the show.
Let's start with the NFC West. We know who's winning the East.
NFC East.
Who winning
NFC
the East?
Eagles.
Oh, bro. Come on now.
Nah, bro. I mean, if you believe in JD5, that
I do believe
ahead.
In JD5. I definitely believe in JD5.
I don't believe in them that much.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, y'all last time they saw the Eagles, they got killed. All respect to JD5, but like they got
okay,
killed.
Moment too big. But you got to look at the rest of the season.
It was a great season. They're not going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs.
I want to ask this question because we talked about it on the last episode of the pod. Do you think that JD5 could be seeing a sophomore slump this year?
You know, I know it's common, but like it was just too good of a season last year. And the ending wasn't even terrible. Like, we played an Eagles team that was very dominant. I mean, you seen what they did to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Like,
right. There's
no question in that. And you see what we did to the Lions the week before. Like, there's very high potential within there. I'm liking what I've seen from Deebo Samuel this preseason.
I don't know what you're saying, but I can tell you from a 49ers perspective.
I'm seeing that he's not. I'm seeing that he's not washed.
What you think?
I'm seeing that he's not washed, like people saying.
Okay, we gonna see. I'm gonna tell you now.
I feel like we have everything, all the weapons wise, for JD5 to, you know, still do well this season. I don't see a sophomore slump, honestly. Like, I don't know why it would be a sophomore slump for him.
All right, well, I guess we have, you know, Deanne's pick out of the NFC East, but
everybody else said Eagles, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's valid.
NFC West, let's talk about it, Jeff.
NFC West.
Man. What you got, man?
Bang, bang, Niner game. What else I got to explain? Like, bro, we have the easiest schedule.
Okay. Let's look at this.
In the NFC. Matter of fact, the whole entire league, we had the easiest schedule. The easiest.
You guys had a really easy schedule last year. You went 6-11.
No, we didn't have the easiest schedule last year.
Not the easiest, but you had a very manageable schedule.
Now look at that schedule now, because I can tell you, brother, our schedule is terrible. Our schedule is terrible.
Cardinals, Jags, Rams, Bucks, Falcons.
The Colts.
My bad. You play the Colts.
Oh, this is
you play the Browns.
It is a cake.
I'm trying to tell you guys.
Let me see. What the Rams looking like?
But I'm picking the Rams. That's my pick.
Matthew Stafford hurt back.
Yeah, as long as Matthew Stafford is healthy, the Rams
he's already back in practice, man.
Yeah.
He's back in practice, right?
He's back in practice. He was back in practice last week.
I doubt he's going to remain healthy the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Hey, man, he's a tough guy, man. Real gritty.
How long has he been in the league for now?
15 years.
A Super Bowl champ, bro. Respect that, man. He's going to go out there and win, bro. He's going to go out there. I like their team, bro.
Puka
might be
nice.
top five in receiving yards.
Nice.
You got Devontae. You got Kyron Williams. I still like your defense. You got my boy Jared Verse, Brandon Fisk. Like, their team is
better. Some real tough guys, Jared Verse and Brandon Fisk. You know, where those guys go to?
I just think the Rams roster is just better than the 49ers. I think y'all lost a lot on defense this year.
Okay. You ever heard of a guy named Michael Williams? You know, think of Aldon Smith. Think of Aldon Smith, and then imagine that on Michael Williams. He's 6'6". Wingspan at least 6'8", 6'9".
Seems like we have
Bryce
a
Huff. Bryce Huff. Alfred Collins. Do I need to keep going? The best linebacker in the league.
Isn't Bryce Huff the Eagles, like, Eagles unwanted? Like, they didn't want to keep him around? You know they love their D-line.
He led in sacks in 2023, and guess who was his head coach? Robert Saleh. All right, cool. Yeah, we got Robert Saleh back.
Now, that I'll give you. Robert Saleh is that guy.
We got Fred Warner. We got shout out Florida State, Renato Green. He do be locking up. Shout out Renato Green. We got Hyena, Diabolo Lenore. Okay, we got Howard hitting safeties.
Me, bro.
We got CMC. Shout out the Commanders. We got Brian Robinson Jr., Brock Purdy.
Man.
Okay.
Hey, man.
You know, the only question is the wide receiver room.
You got a shot.
But that's the only question. Slick Rick. Shout out Slick Rick. But that's the only question mark.
NFC South.
Who y'all pick?
Bro, come on, bro. There's one answer.
Hey, man.
Bucks.
There is one answer?
It's been 3 years.
Bucks. I don't know.
I'm going Falcons.
Panther sleeper.
All right, D.A. First show back. You got to go.
Panther sleeper. Mark it right here.
Are they winning the division?
Yeah, bro. Like, winning six games.
The Falcons led the division for 3 whole weeks. We spotted them 2 games. We shouldn't even lost them either. We spotted them 2 whole games.
Kirk O'Chain's throw for 509.
I know. I still can't forgive that.
But on 1 foot, too, bro.
Listen, they had 3 weeks where they led the division, and they still choked 3 years.
After going back at this Falcons roster,
what's 4 more?
They have some good top end talent, but some of the
I'm picking the Falcons. For
we have the best
team.
Offensive receiver room in the league.
I need Drake London to turn up for my fantasy team.
I'm gonna go with the Bucks.
Year 3, Baker Mayfield. What are we talking about here?
You know, G's not here. I love G.
G would ask you where the game is, and that's going to be his prediction for the game.
Welcome to Atlanta, baby. I'm going with the Falcons, man.
Oh, jeez. I'll take the Bucks.
I'm going to lean towards the Bucks. I just looked at this Panthers schedule.
I was going to say, what are you talking about?
It's filthy, bro.
Bucks offense is crazy, bro.
Come on.
All right, but now we have to go through a tough division to predict, the NFC North. What do we think?
Who want to start?
New and improved Packers.
I'm going Detroit.
Lions lost their OC.
I'm going Minnesota.
Yeah, they lost both coordinators.
They did.
Bro, my only thing with Minnesota is JJ McCarthy.
Bro, he can do what Sam Darnold did. Like,
he really could.
He can.
Wait. Sam Darnold looked very good.
He did. And Sam Darnold was a vet. JJ McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy was already a mid quarterback, and then he tore his ACL.
Kevin O'Connell has the best system set up for any quarterback in the league. Kevin O'Connell's the best coach in the league.
But do you think he's as talented as Sam Darnold?
Yes.
I think Sam Darnold was a great college quarterback, and when did it click?
When did it start clicking?
When he worked with Kevin O'Connell.
Look at his weapons around him, but
Sam Darnold is a seven, eight year vet versus JJ McCarthy. He's literally going to make his first start coming off of an ACL.
But he's been around the team for over a year now. He hasn't played
around.
You know what I'm saying? But he knows the playbook. That boy Adam Thielen back, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason.
Shout out Jordan Mason.
Like, come on, bro. And their defense is still going to be elite. I don't see them being worse.
Brian Flores is your defensive coordinator?
The Vikings.
The Vikings?
Yeah, the Vikings.
Over the Packers and the
Lions. I got Detroit.
Give me the Packers.
I like
Jordan Love this year.
Jordan Love makes too many mistakes for me to think he can win the division.
Too many back foot throws.
I feel like this is a really competitive division, though, to the point where any 2 games, if any given Sunday, man, if they come out into play, 1 game could be all it takes to separate
from the Lions. The most polished team. I feel like they're going to win the close game.
I don't know. They lost both coordinators.
Okay, but you can still be a polished team after losing your coordinators.
They didn't lose their talent. They just lost.
And plus, the coach is still set. Dan didn't leave.
They're going to bite some kneecaps, man.
Deant, who you got?
I'm not mad at that Packers pick. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at the rest of the schedules. They seem to have, the most smooth sailing one. The Lions, that's treacherous. Their schedule is treacherous.
Yeah, I see this Lions schedule.
Y'all got to look at it. It's treacherous.
They go to Baltimore.
Division is so competitive that any 2 games could be a difference between being the bottom of the division and the top of it.
Go to Cincinnati, 2 Kansas City, 2 Philadelphia.
It's bad. It's actually very bad. I don't know what kind of schedule this is, bro.
So I'm guessing can we see this division getting three playoff teams?
Oh, they for sure will.
For sure.
They absolutely could.
I think there's too much talent coming out of that division.
The NFC South is really trash. Bottom of the NFC West is trash. Like, you could definitely get 3.
Nobody wants to say Chicago? No.
No.
Chicago potential.
Yeah, no. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But fellas,
shout out Earn.
Fellas, it's week 1. You know, we got Q, Adobe Audition. But now, we're going to go through the NFL week 1 schedule to see who's doing Adobe Audition next week.
We gotta find a name for this segment.
Learn Audition?
I don't know. It's our saying here, no ball or audition, learn audition.
Something like that.
So, of course, Thursday night game, Dallas versus Philly. Fellas, who are we taking?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Taking Philly. Everybody taking Philly, man.
Okay, Friday night, KC versus the Chargers. Who are we taking?
KC.
Nobody say Chargers. Okay.
All right. Now, next game.
You
making
that pick real quick?
Bengals versus Browns. Who are we
the
taking?
The Cleveland Browns.
Bengals.
I'm taking Bengals.
Are you
serious? I'm taking Bengals.
So serious.
You're
I'm
so taking serious?
Bengals. I'm so serious.
Everybody Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals.
But
Bengals.
Jason, all right. Hey, you might be learning audition, brother. Miami versus the Colts. Who are we taking?
Give me the Colts.
Ooh.
Miami.
Give me the Colts.
I don't like either of these teams.
You saw us. He was just in the stadium.
I'm taking Miami.
Give me the Colts. It's week one.
I'm going to take Miami.
Miami.
So everybody but Q. Okay, cool.
Uh-oh.
Raiders versus the Pats.
This is a good game.
This is a good game.
I'm going to take the Patriots.
I'm going Raiders.
I'm going Raiders, too.
I'm going Raiders.
Geno Smith ain't riding back.
I'm going to go Pats.
I'm going Raiders.
And Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll, too. Come on.
I like the Raiders this year.
I see Pete Carroll having a tough sledding the first few games.
He's Pete Carroll.
So, Deant Raiders. JB Raiders.
Yeah.
Drake may go look over.
You said
no, I got the Raiders. Wait, before we go on. You just said Pete Carroll, like Pete Carroll didn't throw the ball at the 1 yard line. But buddy, no, we're not hearing that.
He was in the Super Bowl, though.
He was about to go back to back.
He was in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he was about to go back to back.
And he threw the ball.
That was one decision.
Yeah, I got the Raiders.
Arizona versus the Saints. Who we taking? Cardinals versus Saints.
Cardinals. That's so nasty, though. What a terrible game. Who scheduled that?
Steelers versus Jets. Who we taking?
Steelers.
Okay, everyone's going there. All right, great. Giants versus here. Commanders.
Commanders.
I like the
this
Giants.
This is
going
to be a fun graphic. I feel like I'm very lopsided.
I like the Giants.
I think it's going to get interesting right here. Panthers versus Jacks.
Jaguars.
Panthers
versus Jaguars.
Give me Jags.
I'm not a Jags fan, but I'm from Jacksonville, so I'll take it.
Give me the Jags.
Who said Panthers?
What's making y'all pick the Jaguars out of curiosity?
Trevor Lawrence.
Deant, you might come back just to learn audition, hey, buddy.
He's better than Bryce Young.
He's better than Bryce Young.
He is better than Bryce Young, respectfully.
Trevor Lawrence sucks.
Y'all not paying attention to them new acquisitions, man. I'm telling you.
It sounds like you like a second team Panthers fan.
It's going to take some time for them acquisitions to kick in for a little bit. They still have Josh Allen. They have Josh Allen. They have Trayvon Walker. They got Travis Hunter now. You know,
man, we were just talking about Trayvon Walker. Yeah. Shout out Trayvon Walker. Anyways,
they got Foye Luakon, tackle leader 1 year.
Devin Lloyd.
It's a decent team.
Jacksonville. Yeah,
they always underperform, but I think they'll beat the Panthers.
Titans versus Broncos.
Broncos.
Okay,
Cam Ward against that defense. Oh boy.
San Fran versus Seattle.
San Fran.
Where is it at? Oh, it's in Seattle.
It's in Seattle. Come on now.
Seattle.
Give me Seattle.
If y'all want to learn audition, y'all know where to go.
I don't know.
Go big or go home.
You said what?
Go big or go home. I'm going to Seattle.
I guess you learn audition. Two-time Adobe ambassador.
Yeah, we got an editor, bro.
San Fran.
Crazy.
Man.
Yeah, so 49ers. Q, you said just you.
Seattle.
I'll take the 49ers.
No, nah, but y'all for the
little audition. I'll go Niners.
I'm gonna go Seahawks too.
Hey, I guess y'all tag team in this audition.
That's crazy.
Detroit versus Green Bay. That's another great game.
Detroit.
Where's that?
In Green Bay.
Detroit. Limbo leaves all for the Lions. Detroit.
I'm going
Green Bay. Detroit.
Give me Green Bay.
I'm going Green Bay as well.
I picked the Packers to win the division, but I don't feel like they get
it's
it
too early?
Done early. Yeah.
No,
you know what? Bum it. No, I'm taking Packers.
I'm taking Packers.
Think about it for a minute.
Taylor, when you see him take that step back and throw a back foot, like 40-yard bomb to the defense, man, I just hope you remember that you picked the Packers.
Absolutely. I'll be thinking about how Jordan Travis isn't playing either.
I'm going with the
Packers. Don't ever talk about him like that. So why did you say that?
Who picked Detroit?
I picked Detroit.
JB. Okay. Yep.
Is it just me?
Yep. It's you.
Oh my God. Wait.
Audition, brother.
Such a weird graphic.
Texans versus the Rams.
Rams are the close one.
Rams. That Texans O-line is trash, dude. Right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Bad.
Oh, yeah, Rams.
Sunday night football. Ravens, Bills. I'm going Ravens.
Ravens revenge game.
It's in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo.
We're back.
Bills.
Give me Buffalo.
Jamar gets it done early.
Jaylee, you said Bills?
Yeah, I'll take
Bills. I'm going to be here Monday in a Ravens jersey.
I'm
my host again.
Give me the Ravens.
No, you should say Bills.
Give me the Ravens.
Okay. Monday night, last game. Vikings versus the Bears.
Vikings.
Vikings.
I don't know.
Yeah, Vikings.
Vikings.
Give me Chicago.
Wait, are we not doing the Bucks game?
Q is learning our dishes, man.
Yes, we won. Give me Chicago.
Are we not doing the Bucks game?
What is
that?
Did we say that?
Oh, I totally forgot about the Bucks.
I mean, they playing the Falcons.
That's how relevant they are.
That's a great game.
That is a great game. My bad. Falcons.
Week one.
Why is it Cannons? Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks.
We start off hot every season.
Take the Bucks.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Give me Atlanta. It's week one. Give me Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm
going. This graphic is about to be hilarious, bro.
Is it?
This is the best part of the show. Our shout outs. I want to shout out my family. Love and support. And I want to shout out God. And I want to shout out the Playmakers. We are back in the building. The second pod of the year.
Real. Shout out to God, of course. Shout out to the Playmakers. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Prayers over my family. My little brother, he's in urgent care right now. So.
Oh, man. Prayers over. Oh,
straight.
I want to thank God, man. Without him, we wouldn't be able to do the things we love. Hey, shout out the Bulls, man. Shout out USF. That's my group of six sleeper team this year.
Chicago for a
Absolutely
second.
I was not. Say. Hey, shout out Ernest, but not Chicago. Shout out the Bulls, man. I will be in the swamp this Saturday for that game. I'm going to be a USF fan. So hopefully they, put on a show.
I want to first thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out Deant.
Yeah, man, it's OG.
Shout out Deant, one or two OGs still standing here. So shout out Deant being here. Shout out to all the guys in the studio. Shout out the 49ers, week one. Let's be better than six wins this season, guys.
Hey, that CMC jersey is in his ear like the Green Goblin match right now.
I want to start off thanking God, of course. Shout out my family. Shout out my friends. Hey, man, shout out Jeff, Jalen. Shout out JB, Brad. All them boys, pushing me to get back on the show, man.
Yes, sir.
Glad to be back. Great atmosphere.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. Shout out to Mississippi. And shout out to the Kansas Jayhawks. This week, they will beat Missouri. We do not like Missouri. I wish I could give an anti-shout out to Missouri. We do not like Missouri.
And
right?
Shout out Adobe Audition, baby. Good luck.
Shout out Adobe Audition, man.
Halftime the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.